Good weekend to you, my Walking with Jesus friends. I wonder how many neurological or psychological disorders you are familiar with. How about PTSD or ADHD or bipolar or GAD or agoraphobia or panic disorder or manic or schizophrenia? And the list goes on, doesn't it? The world of therapists and medications is growing rapidly to treat an ever-growing list of dysfunctions in humanity. I wonder what psychologists would say happened to King Nebuchadnezzar about 2,600 years ago, as Daniel records it for us in Daniel chapter 4. Yesterday, I left you in the Grand Palace in Babylon as Daniel explained to wide-eyed, horrified, terrified King Nebuchadnezzar the unimaginable significance of his frightening dream, according to Daniel chapter 4, verse 19 to 27. We have no explanation how Nebuchadnezzar responded to Daniel's terrifying explanation or recommendation. The white space in your Bible between Daniel chapter 4, verse 27 and 28 is a time gap of one full year during which we have no record of what either Daniel or Nebuchadnezzar were doing in response to Nebuchadnezzar's terrifying dream. The next statement Daniel wrote for us is this: all this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. He said, "Is not this the great Babylon I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty?" Daniel chapter 4, verse 28 to 30. It was an arrogant but truthful statement and a genuine reflection of the heart of the most powerful man in the world. I wonder how many other world leaders think the same way as they look out over the cities from which they rule today. Daniel's next words are vitally important for us to hear and understand. Even as the words were on the king's lips, a voice came from heaven. "This is what is decreed for you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Your royal authority has been taken away from you. You will be driven away from people, and you will live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like the ox. 7 times will pass by for you until you acknowledge that the Most High God is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and gives them to anyone he wishes." Daniel chapter 4, verse 31 and 32. Almighty God had spoken. God's patience had lasted one more year, but evidently there had been no change in Nebuchadnezzar's wicked, arrogant heart and mind. He had been terrified by his dream one year before, and even more terrified when Daniel explained the dream to him. He had clearly heard Daniel's warning and advice for action, but Nebuchadnezzar, in his arrogance, had disregarded it all. Do you know anyone living in willful, arrogant disregard, maybe even open rebellion against God? God's patience ran out on King Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel next records these amazing words: immediately, what had been said about Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. He was driven away from people and ate grass like an ox. His body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair grew like the feathers of an eagle and his nails like the claws of a bird. Daniel chapter 4, verse 33. We have no record of exactly how it happened, but evidently Nebuchadnezzar lost his mind and behaved in such frightening ways, he either ran out of the palace himself or was bound in chains and dragged out into the fields, far away from people, and released into the wild as an animal. Daniel's interpretation of the dream mentions 7 times, during which Nebuchadnezzar lived like a wild animal, eating the vegetation of the ground, drinking water as he found it, and caring nothing for himself as a broken human being. Can you imagine what that was like for him and for Babylon? Daniel does not explain if 7 times was 7 weeks or 7 months or 7 years, but by the description of what happened to the insane king's hair and nails, it was most likely 7 months, but may have been up to 7 years. We have no record of what leadership transition happened in the Babylonian kingdom during that time, but I presume Daniel's voice was very significant to whomever the interim leadership was. There was no medication, no therapy, no support groups for what happened to insane King Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel chapter 4 actually begins with King Nebuchadnezzar himself telling this story as an autobiographical recounting of this amazing period of time. I notice in Daniel chapter 4:34, Nebuchadnezzar himself resumes telling the story now after the fact. At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. No one can hold back his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" Daniel chapter 4, verse 34 and 35. The most powerful human being on our planet was humbled. Finally, Nebuchadnezzar regained consciousness and sanity and came to a whole new understanding of who God is, what God's characteristics are, and what relationship God has designed humanity to have with him. I wonder what else you see here, my friends. I see God's mercy. How easily God could have allowed insane Nebuchadnezzar to be attacked and eaten by wild animals during his time of insanity while he lived out in the wild. Or God could have simply left arrogant Nebuchadnezzar untamed, a wild, insane man living the rest of his life as an animal, outcast from society. But God evidently brought into Nebuchadnezzar's disoriented mind enough clarity of intellect to understand what was happening to him, and his soul cried out to God in repentance. Both his mind, his intellect, and his heart, his emotions, were drawn by God to understand God's majesty, holiness, omnipotence, sovereignty, and mercy. In that place of new understanding, the wild man, arrogant Nebuchadnezzar, humbled himself and came to know God in a life-changing way. We have no record of how Nebuchadnezzar cleaned himself up and wandered back into Babylon, nor how the Babylonians responded to him, but evidently, eventually, he ended up back in his palace. For Nebuchadnezzar concludes his autobiography of this remarkable event with these words: "At the same time that my sanity was restored, my honor and splendor were restored to me for the glory of my kingdom. My advisors and nobles sought me out, and I was restored to my throne and became even greater than before. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and glorify the King of Heaven, because everything he does is right, and all his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble." Daniel chapter 4, verse 36 and 37. Daniel chapter 4 stands as one of the most significant events in all human history. The most powerful and prideful man in the world, humbled by God, driven insane, then given enough awareness that he repented and was restored by God, and then proclaimed for all the world to hear the grandeur and majesty of Almighty God. Wow, what a remarkable event. Now, what does that tell you about our great God and his readiness to work in any way to draw a person to know and honor him? My heart wants to praise God. How about you?